as I said, you know, we were speaking before the break around entrepreneurs, and particularly, Graham, you'll be happy to know this, in the beauty space, the growth in entrepreneurs, and for people to have luxury, I suppose many people don't treat it as a luxury, beauty treatments. They're like, no, this is a necessity. I'd rather not eat and have my nails done. It's very much a, what would you call it? A recession-proof industry.
Exactly.
Graham Shapiro, welcome to the show. We're talking about why is it that our economy is so horrendous, from a growth perspective, and what we can do to give it a big boot, in the backside.
So, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's no secret that our economy is not doing as well as others overseas. And like you said,
Even like next door.
Exactly. No, exactly. So, but I actually want to start off to take a step back and actually explain what that actually means. You know, everyone hears, okay, the economy is, you know, GDP didn't grow, mm-hmm. or we have negative GDP, or we're in a recession. But what is it? So just to sort of give a bit more information of what that actually means. And then once you know what that means, it's actually easier to understand why South Africa is actually in the state that it's in.
All right. So break it down for us. GDP is that number that people always like to go on about. We know ours is low. We know China's is quite high. So what does it actually mean?
So GDP stands for gross domestic product. Now, just in case that confused you slightly more, it means it's the total value of goods and services that are produced in the country. So it's basically every shop that sells something, every person that produces a service, all added up together, and that is the gross domestic product of the country. Then you've got another sort of stat which shows the state of the country, which is called GDP per capita. So that's basically the GDP divided by the working population. Mm-hmm. So just to give you those quick numbers, GDP of South Africa is $355 billion,
that's
which
not
is
so bad.
A third of the size of Apple.
Well, okay, compared to Apple, it's not too bad.
And our GDP per capita is $6,200 per year.
Right.
So if you had to divide all the money of the country by all the people, that's probably what we'd get. What the country produces in a year. So then there's another thing that people often talk about is, so GDP growth. So when we look, for example, so I had a few look at some stats earlier today. They usually measure the GDP of the country in quarters. So the first quarter of South Africa, which was January to March, was negative, which means that the goods and services produced by South Africa during that time were less than
the previous quarter,
mm-hmm. which means that the economy is actually shrinking, which means we're producing less.
Which is not very good thing.
It's not very good at all. So what that actually means in real terms is the amount of people haven't decreased. Mm-hmm. The amount of expenses haven't decreased, but the income's decreased. So if you want to look at it, a nice way of sort of looking at an economy, of explaining it quite simply, is look at a household. Look at a household. So you've got, just take, for example, a household of three, two parents and a child. And you have a certain amount of income and a certain amount of expenses. And after all the expenses, they have some money left over. Now, that means you've effectively made a profit. So you can do whatever you want with that cash. You can spend it if you want to. You can invest it for later expenses. You can, or you can just simply hold on to it.
And that would be considered growth in terms of GDP.
Growth is when your income increases.
Okay.
So when you look at that, you can see, well, what that means is now the country's actually got excess cash. Mm-hmm. It's got, which it can then use to either invest in infrastructure or, you know, spend on social development
or social grants or anything they really
want. But now come back to sort of South Africa's situation. So take that household. So now you want to send your child to a private school. Mm-hmm. So you can afford it. Everything's great. Now take the same household with five children. Now all of a sudden you don't have enough money. You've actually got a deficit. So you've got, you don't have enough money to fund your lifestyle. So you've got to either make some concessions. You've got to either make some concessions on either education, or you've got to lower your living standards, or you have to borrow.
Which is what we've been doing with the Chinese.
Exactly. Or what every household does, because most people are in debt, most people in some sort of debt. So that's where South Africa is. Now, if you have that situation where you've got having more children, but not earning more income, you're going to land yourself in trouble. So the income is really the GDP, Mm-hmm. And South and as a country, you have to, well, as a household, you have to earn income to keep up with your expenses. And if you can't, you have to decrease your expenses. And South Africa is really in the situation now where we can't afford all our expenses.
And so we have to borrow to try and mitigate that risk.
Absolutely. And that also an extra added problem is people actually don't, when you talk about, I'll throw in another term where people were speaking about junk status. Mm-hmm. And where South Africa reached junk status,
with its bonds.
That means the investment quality of South Africa is very low, which means it was a very risky country to invest in. So what that now does is South Africa needs investment because we're not producing enough, enough income on our own to fund what they need to do. So we have to find outside money. Now, because we've got junk status by a few rating agencies, it means certain people don't want to actually put their money into South Africa, which puts then further strain. Then you've got obviously the other strain of people stealing all our money.
So I mean, I think that's an interesting case, right? And under Thabo Mbeki, we had a fairly high growth rate. The income of the country was improving. I think it had got to 4 or 5%, 6%, I think, even at some point.
Well, that was where they put South Africa sort of in a group of emerging markets, mm, where there were high growth countries and they were growing rapidly.
And then you had the 2008, bank bubble that burst, and the whole world kind of went through a flip. But unfortunately, we also then inherited Zuma at that point. And so while everybody else sort of kind of recovered, we've sort of gone gently down on a hill ever since. And, it's been a big thing that's played into our economy. And we have lots of strange things that other economies don't, like our unemployment rate is very high and, education rate is very low and all these sorts of things, which really affects the ability to produce more goods and services.
Absolutely. So it's actually, I mean, that's a very good point, is most countries, when they go into some sort of recession or some sort of bad growth period, the government sort of works and the financial policies of the policymakers of the country work on ways how to stimulate the economy. South Africa, on the other hand, has not really done that. The big sort of exports of South Africa were really our metals. And we were sort of spoilt by sort of around 2004 to about 2005, 6, 7, when there was something called the commodity super cycle. That's the one where basically China were buying
everything
that they could get their hands on,
including like that's why we went through this period where the manhole covers were disappearing because the prices were so high, people were stealing it so they could melt down the metal and send it to China.
Exactly. So I'm saying, so South Africa was spoilt at that stage where they were going through, the economy was booming from a metals point of view. And that's really what the South African economy has been based on for many years, is really our metals, which is our gold, our platinum, anything that they can get out of the ground. And now that that's sort of waning, now that that's sort of not where it is, and there isn't the international demand that there was, South Africa has to think of new ways of how to stimulate the economy. So I want to actually compare, and this is not for ideological reasons, this is purely factual reasons. And it's very interesting actually to compare South Africa with Israel, because Israel only since recently had found natural gas. Before that, they actually had no resources. There were absolutely no resources in Israel. They're surrounded by oil-rich countries. They have no oil of their own. So they had to sort of figure out a new way of how to actually stimulate the economy. Now, just after the Yom Kippur War, there was hyperinflation in Israel, which means, you know, people were paying, you know, people were paying loads of money for just regular goods. And people actually couldn't, the economy was really suffering. Then what happened was a sort of a shift in how they, in how they were going to actually run the economy. It's just a few stats just to compare Israel to South Africa. So Israel's economy is actually bigger than South Africa's. So, and being the size of Kruger. So, you know, of the Kruger National Park. So you've got a country the size of the Kruger National Park that produces more than we can with our population. They've got, their population is about a fifth of the size of ours. They've got about 8.7 million people. We've sitting at last I checked the numbers, about 57 million. So about, sorry, that might be even six times, we've got six times the amount of people. You remember I said that GDP per capita number, where our average household or earns $6,200 or produces $6,200 a year, they produce 41,000. So they're a much bigger economy. Their growth, our growth, I said we had negative growth in the first quarter, which was minus 2.2%. Their growth is at 3.3%. Okay, but let me actually just stop on those stats and explain what Israel really are and where South Africa maybe needs to be and where they can learn a thing or two from Israel. Israel, like I said, has no natural resources. So what they really did was they built what a lot of people call is a thought economy, where they produced research and development, and they produced tech products that they could then export to the rest of the world. So you know, their defense programs, you know, take things like the Iron Dome, you know, Dead Sea products, well, not really, but also their, take things like Waze. People use it every single day. So they're creating technology that's used all around the world. And they're actually equipping their schools and their universities. They're equipping all their students, giving them tools to actually contribute to the Israeli economy, to actually sell goods and services that the world wants. You know, South Africa is at a stage right now where what we're producing, the world doesn't want. You know, if you look at, do you know what the NASDAQ is?
That's the tech industry in the States, all the different companies that are technologically based.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's one of the exchanges, exactly like you said, but it focuses on technology companies. There's about 3,300 companies on there. Israel has about between 80 or 90 companies on the NASDAQ. South Africa has one. Well, actually, I don't actually think they do. They have, yes, sorry, they have one company on the NASDAQ. So it's just to show is the way the world is moving is especially former commodity rich countries. We're really at a stage now, you know, you asked earlier, you know, you said, what does the country actually need to do to fix this? They need to actually start equipping people in the country with skills that the world wants to use. You know, we're potentially a great place for cheap labor for the rest of the world. You know, if you want to take, something like web development or really coding experts and what sort of money they would charge overseas, South Africa is a great haven to produce those goods and services for overseas countries. Overseas companies. So we're actually, but we're not doing anything in the case of educating people. We're too obsessed with land expropriation.
Well, I mean, I think the education thing is actually vital because if you look, I saw a statistic that showed the number of people who are passing matric, right, every year. And that's on the university entrance level where you need, I think, 350% and then one like below 50. And that pass rate was about 30%.
Really?
Right. And that's not taking into account anything that's higher grade math or science. And those really, if you look at those things that people study, that actually what they call the STEM subjects.
Yeah.
enables people to get into the industries that are, you know, where they can do that kind of tech stuff, that where there is the higher income, you know, not people like me who had to study BAs and then, you know, are earning less. And there's nothing wrong with BAs. I like them as well. But the point stands that the way we're educating our kids across the board in South Africa has not been effective for whatever reason. And it, you know, it doesn't matter what we do unless we can figure out how to educate the country properly. You know, the economy is going to be stuck in this bit of a sandpit that it's in at the moment.
Absolutely. Or unless they can figure out something else.
Require education.
Well, not that it doesn't require education, but to stimulate small business, to stimulate, you know, you need businesses to grow, to pay more people so they can spend more money, so to stimulate the economy. That's really how it works. There's the more businesses, jobs that can be created, the more money that gets spent in the retail, in growing with other businesses, mm-hmm. which then slowly grows the economy.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very interesting. And if anyone is interested, there was a great report done by the Center for Enterprise Development about 6 months ago on how we can kickstart the economy, and have some interesting ideas there. We're going to have to get the politics right and some of the corruption rises first before we do that. But certainly interesting to look and understand the economy. Graham, thank you so much for coming in and explaining all to us.
Thank you for having me.